to work on. Chinese one, I tried to turn on the computer and say, where's the sermon? My goodness, I found out it's empty. It's just the sermon title, nothing there. You know, so it's quite a journey. I had to catch up a whole day with a lot of things. But anyway, isn't that a reality of life? Something, you know, you don't expect, of course. Motivate me to use computer correctly, definitely. The second time, I won't allow the third time happen. It's not easy. But, you know, somebody say, maybe God doesn't want the sermon you prepare the first one. That's why he, that's one logical explanation, but it doesn't come from me at all. Okay. I think 1 month ago in the Holy Communion, I shared a message about managing our emotion, managing your emotion, with the title "An Overcomes Melody." That's the number one, the part one. I think the Lord called us to be an overcomer, not a loser, right? He wants us to manage our emotion well. We can be the master of our emotion rather than the slave. And today I want to share with you another topic about be well balanced. I think this is on my heart for quite a while. I observe many churches. I counsel many brothers and sisters. They struggle. They share with me, you know, their feeling about life, etc. I just realized this is a message I need to share with you. I will be very brief and to the point because I only have 40 minutes. I need to conclude with the Holy Communion. Perhaps you wonder, why should I share this? Because God's desire for us is to be well balanced. You may ask, how do you know? It's recorded in the scriptures. The first scripture I want to share with you, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25. You say here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Here, Apostle Paul instructs Christians in Galatia to live a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life. And such life characterized by 9 ingredients. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. And if you read the scripture here carefully, you realize it's the fruit. It's a singular form. It's not 9 fruits. It's a 1 fruit with 9 ingredients. Right? You know that, right? You guys look very serious. Was your project being erased or something? Or you didn't sleep? Actually, it's very interesting. It's just 1 fruit. I listen to many people preach on this scripture. They say there are 9 fruits of the Spirit, you know, and then ask the people to recite that. Actually, that's not true. It's a 1 fruit with 9 ingredients. So what is the last ingredient? Self-control. It's very interesting. It put in the last. And God put that in the last one, last position with reasons. To me, I think it implies a Christian life has a self-control. It's very interesting. Also, this after those wonderful 8 ingredients, love, peace, joy, patience, etc., etc., and the conclude with self-control. You know, self-control is a major trait of a Christian life. The flip side of the self-control, my interpretation is well-balanced. Well-balanced. It's not just being balanced in one area. It's in every area. It's a spirit-filled and spirit-led life. Second scripture I want to share with you. I already told you I would share very briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 25. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Here, Paul compared a Christian life to be a running race and challenged us to run in a way we may win. Right? Ricky, right? You attend the race, competition. You want to win, right? You don't prepare to lose. But how can we win here? Apostle Paul say, everyone who competes in the games exercise self-control in all things. In other words, need to be balanced in all things. Scripture number 3, Hosea chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim mixed himself with the nations. Ephraim has become a cake, not turned. God warned the tribe of Ephraim. He warned about that tribe. They disobeyed God. They mixed with the Canaanites. So Canaanites led them astray to worship the idol. So they can no more be faithful to God. So God compared them as a cake not turned. Right? How do you make a pancake? I think Ricky is very experienced, and Scott, right? For the men's breakfast, you do that. So when you make the pancake, if you turn, you don't turn, you just continue, just leave one side there. What will be the result? What kind of pancake will you get? So you will find out this one side is black, other side is uncooked. So that's a picture of extreme imbalance. And God extorted Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, say, you just like a pancake, not pancake, you like a cake, not turned. You don't follow my commands. You mix with Canaanites. You don't worship me only. So it's very clearly in the scripture, I quote three places, God wants us to have been well-balanced, to have self-control. Perhaps you come to the contents of well-balanced, there are many things. Many areas of life need to be balanced, right? When I was prepared, such as the balance between emotion and reason, right? Some people are emotionless. They are very rational. Some people are very emotional, almost emotional all the time. Need to be balanced, right? The balance between humility and self-confidence. Some people don't know what is humility, truly humility is. They thought this lack of confidence, I can do nothing, that means I'm humble. No, there need to be a balance. There's many areas. How about the parenting? Some parents are so strict, only emphasize what is right or wrong, never have love. That tend to happen in the tradition Asian family. And also we see today in America, in Western society, emphasize so much about love. No discipline at all. That's not balance. That's like a pancake. Just cook one side, right? So what's the content? I have very limited time today. I like to focus on two areas today. The balance in the two areas. Yeah, the first area I want to emphasize, avoiding two extremes in relating to God and people. I want to focus on the first area, so how when you relate to God and people, we need to avoid two extremes. The first extreme is only pursuing God and being ignorant, unable to relate to people, cannot work alone with others. Some people live a life seem to be spiritual. They pursue God only, read and meditate on the Bible only, pray a lot, study deep truth of the kingdom. Yet they avoid people, refuse to interact with others, live in their own twilight zone. Dear brothers and sisters, that is false spirituality. The extreme case was the people escaped to the mountainside, to the wilderness. They build the houses there. They pursue holiness. They pursue godliness in the mountain area. That's called monastery. May I ask you, is that real pursuing of holiness? No, lifelong. Or long term, 2 years, 3 years. Well, in the medieval time, in the church history, well, there were elites. They pursue holiness. They pursue godliness with noble intention. They really love the Lord. But is that really pursue holiness? What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? You are the salt of mountain, light of the wilderness. You are the salt of earth, right? You are the light of the world. How can we impact the world? We have to live in the world, but not off the world, right? So the true holiness is not to develop in the mountain area without people. Dear brother and sister, the problem is not in the circumstance. The problem is in the heart. Amen? You can run away from people, run away from all this quote-unquote temptation, but the real problem is still in the heart. The desire for the something will still be there. Amen? The true holiness is with people. You live among people, and you love people. Hopefully by godly life, we impact people. Amen? You get my point. I don't need to continue for that. Another extreme, relate to God and people, is only cultivate interpersonal relationship, not pursuing God, knowing God. I think there are many churches in the Western society gradually become that. They just pursue harmony among us. You can believe whatever you believe. I officiate different weddings. I went to different churches in the Bay Area. I look at their doctrine. I look at their statement. It seems like that. We just be harmonious. You can believe whatever you believe. They don't really pursue Jesus, pursue true God. So it become a wonderful community center, a wonderful social club. There's no essence and meaning of eternity. There's no hope for that. Dear brother and sister, that's another extreme. So what's the prescription? What's the solution for that? The solution is need to love God with whole person and also diligently learn to relate to people. I know we all concern about children's IQ, right? How do you say that? Intelligent quotient? Quotient, okay, thank you. And in the last 20, 30 years, people to realize the importance of EQ. But this morning I will talk about, it's very important if we want to be balanced to love God and also relate to people, we need to build up SQ, spiritual quotient. You say, how can we do that? I think first of all, you need to have the Holy Spirit come into you, right? You need to be born again. When you receive Jesus as Savior and the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord enter you. Bring your spirit alive. I think secondly, we need to fill our mind with the Word of God. We need to fill our spirit with the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we need to attend in the equipping class. We need to listen to those teaching about how to grow SQ. They don't use that words, but that in reality, right? They can use the words spiritual formation. The same thing. Amen? We can be very intelligent. We can be very sensitive to people, but we need to also sensitive to the Spirit, to God, about eternal things. I think the solution to avoid that first extreme, another is to build out our EQ. How can we build our EQ? Well, take maybe 10 hours workshop on this, but I just share with you in 1 minute. First is constantly put yourself in others' shoes, developing empathy. This is not easy. Let me give you an example. Okay? Your pastor worked so hard on Friday night. And somehow, for whatever reason, he didn't get his sermon. On Saturday morning, he had to rewrite it. So he just shared with you about the situation. With a person with empathy, what should you answer? What will you answer? Okay. Okay, you pray for me, okay? What's the tendency we will do? Okay, I give you some illustration. Certain person told me, you should use Apple computer, you know. That will never happen to you. They just say for you automatically. Right? Huh? Well, that person used the Apple. I don't. Another possible input is because God wants you to have a better message. Yeah, I want to have a better message, but I have limited time. I need to sleep. I need to have other things, right? So it's not easy, right, to put yourself in another person's shoes. We just say, jump in. Okay, you got sick? I told you. Be careful. You didn't sleep well. You went to bed so late. You don't eat all those junk food. No wonder you get sick. Right? Do you think that person be encouraged? Yeah, hallelujah, I repent, I'm a sinner. No. He will say, shut up, get lost. It's not easy, right, the empathy, because we need to empathize with another person's feeling. A person just lost job. No problem, I'll pray for you. Trust in the Lord. You know, trust in the Lord, delight in him. He will provide. His name called Jehovah Jireh, right? Look at your face. Lack of faith. Cheer up. Start to praise. Do you think he will get revived? Maybe. He's a humble person. Most likely won't. He will be very discouraged. He said, wow, God doesn't love me. Look at that prophet just exhort me. So I think we need to develop, grow our EQ for us to relate to people, to empathize. It's not easy to feel another person's feeling. Also, to grow EQ is constantly ask, what would Jesus do in my situation? I think this question is very helpful because it helps you to know Jesus. What if Jesus see Joseph Tien work so hard whole night and lost the sermon and I don't have time to do it? How will he respond? Well, Jesus will respond to someone got sick. Because the person doesn't have a disciplined life in reality. But how will he respond? That really helps us. Another extreme I like to mention to have well balanced is to avoiding too extreme in relating to self and people. In this two extremes, one extreme is focus on self only, care not for others. That's called self-centeredness. You know, I know none of you is in that category. You know, when a person constantly think about himself or herself, is a sign, is a trail of immaturity. You just observe baby, observe kids, right? They always talk about what? Me. I, me, myself. This is my toy. This is my daddy. This is my mommy. Right? Always think about self. Or a person continue to live a life like that is a sign of orphan. I really mean spiritual orphan. A person so insecure, he wants to grab everything. It's so common among the immigrants. I refer to myself. Right? We come from another country. We migrate to a new place. We are so insecure. Think about how can I survive? So that's very common. But that's not right. That's one extreme. Okay, let me talk about another extreme. This is pretty common in our church. So care for others only, care not for self. This kind of statement, when you hear that, isn't that right? But this is very tricky. Just listen very carefully. This extreme appears to be sacrificial and spiritual and noble on the surface. But in reality, it's as harmful as the first extreme. If a person doesn't know how to love, care for himself, he or she cannot truly love and care for others in the right way. Amen? The great commandment is love God with whole your person, whole being, and love others as yourself. Dear brothers and sisters, you need to truly love yourself. It's not mean indulgence. It's not mean being self-centered. You need to spend time, invest in yourself. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Joseph? I say, I'm talking about serious business. How can we love ourselves? First of all, we have to accept ourselves the way we are right now. Isn't that important? You realize a lot of people, they have very difficult time to get along with anyone because they cannot get along with themselves. Right? If you cannot accept yourself, it's very hard to accept others because you need to be balanced. You need to find something wrong with that person so justify you are okay. That's a psychology, very simple one. So we need to learn to practice accept ourselves. Also, we need to learn to appreciate our strength, our talents. We appreciate Ricky's leading just now. I think he has gift in leading. He control well. I just found out, wow, they are very advanced. You use a cell phone or something, control the music, and the sharings control the words. It's a teamwork. It's not easy. And then he has to pray. You see how complex the action just now. It's not easy. You don't believe you can volunteer. I'll let you try next Sunday. You need to remember the music, the words, and a certain part you had to pray. And you pause, let the Holy Spirit work, and then remember the next one coming, and the words. There's a gift in that. So, Ricky, you had to appreciate yourself. In men's school, you teach, right? You taught. And, of course, you know, husband and wife, you know, friends, someone cannot appreciate himself. You can affirm that. Say, hey, you really have a teaching gift. You have an administrative gift. Right? You have to affirm that person. When someone affirms you, say, oh, no, I am very bad. That's not right. That's not a kingdom perspective. That's called false humility. Whoever say that in their heart, say, here you come. You finally realize how good I am. But on the surface, they say, oh, no, I'm very bad. I'm so bad. Okay, just share with you a story about a missionary went to Taiwan. He went to a very traditional thinking Chinese family. A housewife make 10 dishes, wonderful, delicate dishes, Chinese food, to welcome him, say, since you're new here. The missionary say, I'm so thankful that you make a banquet for me. He says, oh, no, this is not a banquet. I cook very bad. This is no good dish. The missionary thought, if there's no good dishes, it's a very bad. Why? He didn't say anything. This is a cross-culture, by the way. Why did you invite me? Why did you show me the bad dishes for them? You know, I not judge this. I just want to tell you, a lot of time we as a believer, our value hasn't been transformed yet. We're still in that mindset. When people praise you, oh, no, I'm very bad. No, I tell you, what's the correct way to answer? Say, praise the Lord. Thank God he helped me to do this, right? I praise you just now. I say, thank God he gave me the gift to lead the worship. He gave me the gift to teach. He gave me the gift to play piano. Then you refer the praise to God. Amen? And then you affirm yourself. You do have that gift. Without that gift, we cannot worship just now. But the gift came from God. This is a true humility. Amen? If we continue to cultivate false humility, you surely will fall. One day when person praise you, and then you just cannot wait any longer, say, now you finally know how good I am, huh? I need all this affirmation all this time. Now I have to jump out. I don't care, the false humility. Also, I think to love yourself, you need to take care of yourself. I really mean it. You take care of your body. Sometimes the most spiritual thing is to eat well and sleep well. Amen? You need to eat well, eat healthy. Eat the good food, not junk food. It's convicting now. Also, you love yourself. You have to plan for your life. You have to plan every week. That's how you can have time to eat and sleep well. Also, we learn to love others with empathy. I feel others' feeling. But I want to emphasize this. When we love others, why some people can just take care of others, doesn't take care of himself, is we need to have self-control. Right? The last ingredient of fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Even in love, patience, they need a balance. Also, they need a setting boundary. You have to realize you and another person is a different entity, no matter how much you love that person. There's a boundary. You have to set out the boundary line. Amen? A lot of Asian parents, Chinese parents, they don't have boundary. Hear what I say. You can call me. I observe so much. The son and daughter are already 30-something, 40-something. They still control in the name of, I love you, son. I love you, daughters. That is not love. Amen? That is control. When we help people, we show care to people, we have to respect that person. There's a boundary between you and that person. Amen? If you don't get it, you can discuss after this. You can have your own sermon discussion. My time is up. Okay, so insight for life is, first, we need to strive for well-balanced life. You have to put effort into it. It won't come naturally. It's hard. Secondly, you know, maybe you hear the first one and say, Pastor Joseph, I'm a very well-balanced person. I don't need to strive for. The second insight is we need to have humility and brokenness to receive God's enlightenment about our condition. We are imbalanced in many areas. There are many reasons to cause that, right? Our genetic from parents, our personality, our past life experience, our upbringing make the way we are. We need each other. We need God's words. We need a humility and brokenness. I'm broken. I need God's healing. We all are broken. I am broken. You are broken. But God brought us together to be healed. Amen? To be a beautiful bride because he's coming back. So we need a divine realignment from time to time in our perspective and character. And finally, I will say being balanced is a beauty. A well-balanced life is abundant and beautiful. When you see a person balanced, he loves God, also he can relate to people well. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When you see someone see the boundary, he takes care of himself very well. Also, he can help other people well. Isn't that beautiful? When you see someone have a logical mind, very clear mind on one hand, on the other hand, have a compassion for the needy. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what God means. You are the soul of the earth and light of the world. Well balanced in the area of life. May the Lord bless his words. We'll proceed into the Holy Communion. Okay. I think of this Holy Communion, I sense it's really a time to remind us we are in the same family. Amen? We take one bread, one cup. Literally, we don't. But in real practice, in the past, they do take it from one bread and one cup. But the meaning is we all receive this because Christ's redemptive work. We become children of God. We came from different backgrounds. I see the people here. You came from very different background. The reason we can be here today. Because Jesus Christ. Amen. Also, that'll be forever. Eternity. You know that? one day in heaven, there's no relation for marital relationship, parental relation. No. A relationship as a brother and sister in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We thank you that we thank Jesus because his work, we can have balance. We can be balanced. We can have self-control. Amen. I'd like to invite those who receive Jesus as Savior and the Lord, has been baptized unto the church, to come forward to take the bread and cup. When you come, you take the bread and cup, you go back to wherever you are and stand there and spend time to give thanks and confess your sin to the Lord, ask the Lord to cleanse you so you can participate in a worthy manner. Okay? We start from the back. You back to your